The poet Dante Gabriel Rossetti wrote, "A sonnet is a moment's monument." The sonnets began with the notion of love. Petrarch, pining for the unattainable Laura in the 14th century, wrote, "It was the day when the sun's heavy rays grew pale in pity of his suffering lord, when I fell captive, lady, to the gaze of your fair eyes." But the American poet, Gerald Stern, in his contemporary sonnets, falls captive to a box of cigars, an egg, a roadside motel. In honor of National Poetry Month, we invited Gerald Stern, a winner of the National Book Award, to read from his latest collection called American Sonnets. He joins us from member station WHYY, and we're delighted to have you with us.
It's wonderful to be here, Jackie.
You're a really celebrated teacher as well as a celebrated poet. You taught for many, many years at the Iowa Writers' Workshop, among other places. So
yes.
I think we should all, if you don't mind, be your student, and I'll ask you a simple question that I know has multiple answers, which is, what is a sonnet?
Okay, I'll try not to be too academic, and I'll try to be brief. A sonnet is, the word means little sound or little song. We're not sure. And most people learn in school that there are two kinds of sonnets, Petrarchian and Shakespearean, and they have different forms in terms of the arrangement of the rhyme, that it's generally in English in iambic pentameter, and that is 14 lines long, and that it comes in two parts, and the second part is 6 lines, and the first part 8 lines, and it contains a turn or a volta, which means turn in Old Italian, somewhere in the second part, and a clarification.
Mm-hmm.
That's the formal definition of a sonnet. However, poets all through history, particularly in England and America, have played with this idea and worked against it in various ways.
Well, that's because it was a rule, and so everybody had to rebel.
Yeah, and you know, a poet in particular doesn't want to be too struck, or at least as I see it, by formality and be a slave to form. So that Robert Lowell wrote unrhymed sonnets, George Meredith, the English poet, wrote 16-line sonnets, and Milton avoided the volta, all kinds of variations. No, I see it as a kind of explosion, an intense moment in time, which is similar to what Swinburne says. It's dramatic, it's a meditation on a single theme, and it's a kind of short story.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, and most important, it contains a paradox, as I see it, or a contradiction, even a collision, and often a kind of riddle.
You pose something, and then you play with it, solve it, engage it. You do that in this wonderful collection, which is really autobiographical as well, isn't it, American Sonnets?
Yeah, and this is in keeping with the sonnet tradition.
Well, you grew up in Pittsburgh. And
I did.
And this collection seems to me has a great deal of Pennsylvania in it. Would you please read one of them for us?
One of mine?
Yeah.
Absolutely, I'll do that.
Thank you.
Here's a poem, if you want me to, I'll read, which is a Pittsburgh poem.
Great.
It's the first one in the book, and it's called Winter Thirst. And to my listeners, or to the listeners, I want to point out that in western Pennsylvania, they had soft coal called bituminous, whereas in eastern Pennsylvania, there is hard coal called anthracite. I grew up with bituminous in my mouth and sulfur smelling like rotten eggs. And I first started to cough because my lungs were like cardboard. And what we called snow was gray with black flecks that were like glue when it came to snowballs and made them hard and crusty, though we still ate the snow anyhow. And as for filth, well, start with smoke. I carried it with me, I know, everywhere. And someone sitting beside me in New York or Paris would know where I came from. We would go in for dinner, red meat loaf or brown choucroute, and he would guess my hill, and we would talk about soot and what a dirty neck was like, and how the white collar made a fine line. And I told him how we pulled heavy wagons and loaded boxcars every day from 5 to 1 a.m., and how good it was walking empty-handed to the number 69 streetcar, and how I dreamed of my bath, and how the water was black and soapy then, and what the void was like, and how a candle instructed me.
You take us from Pittsburgh to Paris back to the elemental in this sonnet. It's really, it's wonderful.
Thank you so much.
If a sonnet is a map of a moment or a monument to a moment, then clearly you're showing, I think, in this collection of American sonnets that almost any simple moment, I mean, in this, you have them here breaking an egg against a pan. I mean, anything becomes a sort of talisman for the
exactly.
for the intellect.
Here's a poem, and this is a Philadelphia poem, actually. I moved to Philadelphia when I was in my late 20s to teach at Temple University, I and my former wife. And we were living at 914 Pine Street. And, of course, all this is true. Everything I write is true, so to speak.
And well, I can't challenge you there.
someone gave me a box of cigars, and they were stale. So I threw them out the window, and this is what happened, okay? It's a moment in time.
Okay.
I tried either one or two, but they were stale and broke like sticks or crumbled when I rolled them, and lighting a match was useless, nor could I put them back in the refrigerator. It was too late for that. Even licking them filled my mouth with ground-up otter leaf, product of Lancaster or Eastern Virginia. So schooled I am with cigars. It comes in the blood. And I threw handfuls of them into the street from three floors up, and to my horror, sitting on my stoop were four or five street people who ran to catch them as if they were suddenly rich. And I apologize for that. No one should be degraded that way. My hands were crazy, and I ran down to explain, but they were smoking already, nor did I have anything to give them since we were living on beans ourselves. I sat and smoked too. And once in a while we looked up at the open window, and one of us spit into his empty can. We were visionaries.
Gerald Stern, this was a real pleasure. Thanks so much.
And thank you, Jack. It was a joy talking to you.
Gerald Stern. His latest collection of poetry is called American Sonnets, published by W.W. Norton.